What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because tough times don't last, but tough people do. Yes, this is the special bonus coronavirus edition of the show, the one where I try and look beyond the motivational platitudes like in that intro and attempt to answer, what now? As you know, one of the core themes of the show is to control what you can control. And so we'll explore the things that are still in your control, even when the world seems to be spinning out of it. I've hesitated to publish anything on this topic yet, in part because I'm down to working a couple days a week and maybe some nap times if I'm lucky with the kids at home, and in part because I'm still wrapping my head around what it all means. I mean, we've never been through a global pandemic before, so we're all learning as we go. But it also feels weird not to address the issue at this point. So here goes. This will be a pretty brief episode, but stick around to hear why I think this is a temporary setback and how science says we can make that prediction come true. This prediction may age horribly as well. How to stay sane while working at home, some businesses that are positioned to thrive in this environment and on the other side, and some awesome free resources to help out if you're hurting right now. So my personal mindset is one of, I'll call it, optimism plus preparation. I don't see this being the Black Death that wipes out half the population. I think this is a temporary setback, and you can kind of already see that in the countries that were hit earlier but got it under control. That's the optimism part. The preparation part is in taking stock of the pretty serious damage this is doing and has already done, and I think it makes sense to take steps, number one, to protect yourself and your family, and number two, to protect or improve or diversify your income sources. We'll get to number two in a minute, but as far as protecting yourself and your family, prevention is the best medicine. That means staying at home as much as you can. This seems like an imposition, but according to people much smarter than me, that's the safest and the fastest path to getting things back to normal. By limiting person-to-person contact, we can all work together to slow the spread so that the medical system doesn't get overwhelmed. This is the hashtag flatten the curve plan, and I haven't seen a compelling counter-argument to it yet. It's a near-term individual sacrifice for a long-term collective gain. Remember, other generations were drafted to go to war. We're being asked to stay home. We can do this. And ignoring these social distancing precautions is at best incredibly selfish, and at worst downright criminal if you consider that millions of lives are at stake. Yes, most cases of this infection are mild, and yes, the vast majority of victims recover, but prevention is still the best medicine, and that is something that's largely within our control. Remember, control what you can control. Stay home. That may be the ultimate paradox of this epidemic. If we can convince everyone to take it seriously, it becomes far less serious. But obviously, as we've already seen, you don't need to be infected to be affected. And this is something that's having profound and really unprecedented impacts on people's lives and businesses. This has devastated people's paychecks and livelihoods. And I understand no amount of motivational quotes is going to change that. Travel, hospitality, retail, and events-related businesses have all been hit really hard, and the ripple effect through the entire economy is kind of nuts, but I've got to believe it's temporary if you can weather the storm. For example, we still have several trips planned later this year. We're not going to never travel again, and hopefully we'll be able to make those happen. But in the meantime, and we'll get to some specific ideas, focus on what you can control. If there's one thing the virus has exposed, it's the fragility and really intimate interconnectedness of our entire world economy. I beat the self-reliance drum as loud as anyone, but like many others, I rely on a lot of other dominoes falling in place to achieve that, quote, independence. So that's my personal take on it, kind of a cautious optimism where we stand a far better chance of beating this sooner rather than later if we all cooperate. Okay, now let's say you're one of the millions of people who've been asked to stay at home except for essential trips. That's our current state of affairs in Northern California, and I recognize, first off, we're very fortunate to be able to work from home. That's a luxury that not everyone has. So first up, some productivity tips if you can work and you can make money right now, and then some broader sanity-saving tips if you're out of work right now, and I'll follow up with some business opportunities that I see in this brave new world. So I've been working from home full-time for myself for almost 12 years. So day-to-day, not that much different, except I was used to having the house all to myself, and now we've got the whole family at home. A couple of things I've noticed so far is the importance of prioritization and then either being on or off. So what does that mean? That means if you have limited time, focusing on the highest impact work. Ask yourself, if you only had an hour a day to work on your business, what would you do? This is the difference between being busy and being effective. And speaking of the family being home, you can probably hear the kids screaming in the background. We'll see if the magic of editing can help out with that. For example, though, my number one priority for today is getting this episode out. Other things I'm working on are prepping future recordings and improving the load times on Side Hustle Nation. But if they don't happen today, that's okay. And the other thing with the kids home all day is to either be on or off. And what I mean by that is having clear times that are for work and clear times where my attention is 100% dedicated to them. Anything less than that, like if I try to multitask and have my head in two places at once, it's just a recipe for getting nothing meaningful done work-wise and then just a lot of frustration on everyone's part on the childcare side. So set some boundaries and be either on or off. What we're attempting here is an every other day situation where I'm in charge of the kids Monday, Wednesday, Friday while Bryn works, and then she's graciously giving me Tuesdays and Thursdays to get some stuff done. And again, I'm really grateful to have that kind of flexibility. Of course, it doesn't help my anxiety in that there's always more to do than time allows, but I can suck it up. It's temporary, right? So how can you stay sane if you're under either a self-imposed or a government-imposed house arrest? Now, whether or not you're out of work right now or you're underemployed right now, I think there are a few things you can do and a few things that are certainly helping over here. Number one is to have some sort of schedule. Like I mentioned a moment ago, we're attempting trading off kid duties and work time. But even inside the days, I found there's a certain rhythm that has been helpful to stick to. And for us, it might look, and this is of course subject to change, but looks like breakfast, some reading time, some yoga. There's a cool yoga kids channel on YouTube, some outside time. This is bike riding or playing on the patio, lunch, nap, games, quiet time. Magic School Bus has been a favorite of ours, after nap, dinner, bath time, bedtime. And of course, there's lots of crazy going on in between those and during those, but having some sort of schedule has been helpful, work-wise or childcare-wise. Number two is to take care of yourself. By that, I mean making sure you're eating well, make sure you're getting exercise. If you no longer have to battle your willpower when your coworker brings donuts into the office, like that could be a win. So look up some natural immunity boosters on this front as well. I'm not a doctor, so I won't make any specific recommendations, but I will say the one that I'm most consistent with is apple cider vinegar. I take it in capsule form because the stuff is absolutely vile to drink. The other thing I'm making sure to do is to get in some sort of quick home workout 5 or 6 days a week, normally first thing in the morning. These are quick 15, 20 minute, mostly bodyweight movements, kind of a higher intensity resistance plus cardio training all in one type of thing. I find my head is in a much better place the rest of the day when I get this done, and there's a lot of science to back that up as well. Tip number three to stay sane while housebound here is to get outside. We're still allowed, at least for the time being, to go for walks and go for bike rides and go for hikes with the kids, and it's really helpful just to have some room to roam and to get some fresh air. Just, you know, give some other people some distance. If you see other people out there doing the same, like we were on a hike yesterday and our 4-year-old, whenever he saw people coming down the trail, hey, I'll give them space. Like, yep, you got it, buddy. Idea number four is to look for silver linings and practice gratitude. In every crisis, there's opportunity. And I don't mean the people trying to turn a quick profit, flipping hand sanitizer. Like, I'm all for supply and demand, right? Free markets. But when people's lives are at stake, come on, that's just gross. But in every crisis, there's opportunity. And I can think of a lot of these kind of mini crises from my painting days. Like, well, I guess I'm going to learn how to strip and restain a deck now since we got overspray all over it. But even when I was running my shoe business and Google shut down my ad account, that was a major crisis for me at the time. I had just quit my job and was banking on that source of profitable traffic. It had been running for 3 years. Like, I had no reason to think it was going away. But ultimately, it turned into an opportunity to remake those landing pages and hopefully create a better shopping experience down the road. So we're looking for silver linings, and I think chief among them, for us personally, is that we're getting to spend more time with our boys than we normally would. Like, they're never going to be this age again, and whether we're out looking for bugs or riding bikes, it's awesome to see the world again through a more innocent lens. They told me yesterday, like, they miss their friends from preschool, but they have no idea what's really going on in the world right now, and that's helpful sometimes. It's not always easy, but trying to reframe from a I have to mindset to a get to mindset may be helpful. It's going from obligations to opportunities. I get to stay home versus I have to stay home. And if you're out of work, I get to look for new sources of income. I get to learn new skills. I get to try these things that I never had time for before. So along those lines of looking for new sources of income, what businesses do I think are worth your attention today in this new environment? Let's go through some of these. Number one is virtual work opportunities. This is anything that you can do from home. And the downside here is that there are big lists, and I've got one on Side Hustle Nation too, of work from home jobs. Those are going to be even more flooded with applications than normal. So probably going to have to get creative to get noticed here. But I believe this crisis is going to be the inflection point for remote work. That means more companies are going to be second guessing their need for a physical office at all after this, or at the very least, they're going to be more open to hiring or contracting with remote team members. If you hit up sidehustlenation.com/freelancing, you'll find the latest resources related to this flavor of entrepreneurship. But I think there are a couple episodes from the archives that are worth calling attention to. First up is Paul Miners in episode 344. We called this the SWAS model, or software with a service model. Paul is a virtual consultant. He helps companies out with Asana, with Pipedrive, and with a few other software products. I love this episode because Paul laid out the framework for how anyone can replicate his business around a software tool that you know better than the average person, or even one that you just happen to care more to learn about. And this is particularly evergreen because there are always new software coming out, and there's always new content channels on which to talk about it to establish your expertise. So again, that was Paul Miners in episode 344. Really like that one. The next recommendation here is Abby Ashley in episode 328. Abby runs a massive community of virtual assistants with the home base over at thevirtualsavvy.com, S-A-V-V-Y. In this episode, in episode 328, she walks through how to figure out what service you could offer, how much to charge, and how to connect with clients. Where I see the opportunity to increase your earning power is in becoming a specialist and productizing your service. This could be based on a particular software like Asana or FreshBooks or Ahrefs, or it could be based on a particular skill like copywriting or Pinterest or video editing. So I think the world of virtual work or remote work is poised to truly explode, both right now and once this thing all blows over. So again, sidehustlenation.com/freelancing, tons of resources on how to get started in this space. Business opportunity number two that I see is in online content, education courses. I'm going to lump podcasting and video production on YouTube under this umbrella as well. So online education is already huge, and it's only going to get bigger. If you have extra time on your hands right now, use it to start creating content. We've seen how this idea of working in public, of teaching people what you know, or even what you're learning in real time, can be really powerful in building a following and ultimately building a business online. So start that podcast, start that website, start that YouTube channel. I made last month $249 from YouTube, and I'm being 100% honest here. I am more excited about that $249 than any other dollars that I made because YouTube feels like a completely new frontier for me. My video game is admittedly pretty weak. Like, professional YouTubers are going to look at my channel and be like, seriously, dude? But it's getting better, and it's something that I get to play around with, not something I feel like I have to do. And if you have some specialized expertise, YouTube can sit at the top of your sales funnel for a premium online course and be extremely effective. Check out episode 314 with Nate Dodson for a case study on how that can work in practice. He was driving traffic to a microgreens business course, with YouTube being the primary traffic driver, with incredible success. All right, business opportunity number three on this list is e-commerce. That could be dropshipping, that could be product flipping, that could be print on demand, that could be Amazon FBA. E-commerce comes in a lot of flavors, and they're all viable, although Amazon has kind of put a temporary hold on accepting non-essential products and even kind of delaying shipments of non-essential products out. But the keyword there is temporary. Study up on these different models. SideHustleNation.com/e-commerce is a good place to start. There are pros and cons to each, but the exciting thing here is it doesn't have to be about carving out market share from someone else. The online shopping pie just continues to grow. I mean, Amazon alone just announced plans to hire another 100,000 people. 100,000 people, that's more than the population of my entire town. If you need to make money quickly, though, product flipping is probably one of the fastest ways to do it. My friends Rob and Melissa from FleaMarketFlipper.com. Rob's been a guest on the show a couple times. Rob and Melissa have some great resources on this. If you visit SideHustleNation.com/FMF for Flea Market Flipper, you'll be able to watch their free online training. It's on demand. Just be sure to practice social distancing while you're out sourcing inventory when you're putting their stuff into practice. And it's probably worth mentioning here that the most downloaded episode of all time on the Side Hustle Show is episode 294 with Rene Delgado. In that episode, he walks me through the first year of his bounce house dropshipping business. It's a good one. Of course, I'll link that up plus all these other resources in the show notes for this episode at SideHustleNation.com/COVID, COVID. Business opportunity number four that I see, another kind of near-term, I need money now one, is delivery gigs. This goes hand in hand with the e-commerce recommendation. With fewer people leaving their houses, that spells an opportunity to bring stuff to them. And there are a bunch of gigs that facilitate deliveries on everything from takeout orders to groceries to alcohol, you name it. So I've got full reviews of Instacart, DoorDash, and Postmates on the blog, and hopefully more coming soon if that's something that interests you. And one DoorDash driver that I spoke to, Kevin Ha from FinancialPanther.com, he recommended stacking multiple apps at once to try and get orders going in the same direction, which he said improved his hourly rate for these delivery gigs. It's important to note here, too, that your earning power with these gigs is realistically capped, probably in the realm of $15 to maybe $25 at the high end before expenses. Because driving and delivery, like that's a skill that pretty much everybody has. So there's a natural downward pressure on how much you can earn there. Still, pretty quick to get started, pretty quick to get onboarded. So this could be a good stopgap or a way to supplement income if you're in a tight spot right now. Just again, be safe out there, follow the social distancing protocols, and please, please, please wash your hands. Okay, business opportunity number five is cleaning services. And there's been some talk about this in the Side Hustle Nation Facebook group, sidehustlenation.com/FB. We'll get you over there if you're not already a member. Ken Carfagno hosts a podcast called Solo Cleaning School, where he covers this business model in a little more depth. And I see more opportunity in the near term in the commercial space, like restaurant kitchens or office spaces where the work function has been deemed essential, maybe more so than the residential space. And the reason for that thinking is we actually paused our own cleaning service this month just because we didn't want somebody else coming into our house right now. Like, I'm happy to have them back once it's all over, but we're just taking a break for right now. So there might be something in the commercial or residential cleaning or a sanitization space right now. And as virus fears linger, probably into the future as well. So those were my five: virtual work opportunities, virtual consulting, virtual assisting, online education, content creation businesses, e-commerce, delivery gigs, and then possibly cleaning services. In the show notes for this episode, I've also compiled links to a bunch of helpful resources and websites. The New York Times, for example, has a page updated daily with tips on unemployment, on student loans, on rent or mortgage assistance, and other financial resources. Several online course creators have also made some of their products free, including Pat Flynn's Smart from Scratch course and Ahrefs' Blogging for Business course, which is normally like $800 and probably worth it, by the way. And Morning Brew has some advice on how you can live your best quarantined life. I'll link all this stuff up for you in the show notes at sidehustlenation.com/COVID, again, COVID, and encourage you to add your own resources to the comments section so we can keep making this a helpful page for everybody who stops by. Together, we'll get through it. Because this too shall pass. Everything is temporary. And whether it's 2 months temporary or whether it's 2 years temporary probably remains to be seen. But I know it feels like we're dragging this on forever right now. This is something that new parents can probably understand better than most. Like the first few months of your baby's life can be incredibly stressful and sleepless. And it seems like it's never going to stop. I remember dreading nighttime the first couple months after our son was born. We didn't know what was going to happen, but we knew it wasn't going to be good. And then before you know it, it gets better. And that's what I'm hoping happens with this current environment, that we look back with the benefit of hindsight and say, yeah, it was pretty sucky, but it could have been worse. It doesn't last forever, and we can come out stronger on the other side. But in the meantime, buckle up, stay safe, and hustle on. Cheers.